Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. I want to thank our generous Parsha series sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family, in memory of David Grossman. Our learning should be Le'ilu Nishmas, David Ben Menachem Manish. Today's shir is also sponsored by Yael and Avi Miller, in memory of Rabbi Avram Warhaftik's 18th Yuritzai today, Yudzayin Sivan, and in memory of Meshulam and David, Shendel Baz David, Avner Ben Avram HaKohen. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. Thank you to all of our generous sponsors. We have the privilege this week of learning Parshas Ba'alos, page 774, in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, Vaydaber Shema Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al Aaron v'yamarte elav, speak to Aaron and tell him, B'ha'aloscha es ha'neiros amul p'nei ha'menorah, ya'iru shivas ha'neiros. When you kindle the lamps, when you kindle the menorah, the candelabra, toward the face of the menorah, the seven lamps, is the way that you should light it. And there are, of course, while this pasuk is speaking specifically about the menorah itself, this kli of the Mishkan, later of the Beis HaMikdash, there are messages. We don't have a menorah today, but the menorah stands for Torah. It's the light, the illumination, the warmth, the power, the impact of Torah. And that continues its deeper messages even today. So let's take a look at a couple of them. One of them comes from the Sefer Imros Tahoros. The Imros Tahoros is the insight of the Rach Mishtrifko Rebbe. I got it out okay. I'm not going to try it again. Imros Tahoros. And he says the following. Bialoscha esaneros, Perish Rashi, shetzorach lahadlik ad shetehe shalheves ola me'ela. Rashi's bothered. We've spoken about this many times. Rashi's bothered. Why beha'aloscha? Beha'aloscha means, like the language, the word aliyah. You get an aliyah to the Torah, you step up to the bima to get the aliyah. You move to Israel, not if, but when we all belong there, we will all make aliyah. Aliyah is to go up. Ha'aloscha is to raise, to elevate, to go up. If we're talking about lighting a flame, lighting a candle, then why are we describing it as raising, as elevating, as lifting up? And Rashi gives two interpretations. One is that the candelabra, the menorah, was large. There was a platform in front of it because the Kohen had to step up on it in order to be able to reach, to be able to clean, and later to be able to kindle, to be able to light the menorah. But Rashi brings a second shot. Rashi says, Be'aloscha, to elevate, to raise, shetehe shalheves ola me'eleha. It means, Be'aloscha, raise the flame. How do you raise a flame? Hold the match, hold the candle, hold the flame to the wick, till the wick catches, and the wick flickers up on its own. That you don't have to hold it there in place, you don't have to leave it there, but when you withdraw your flame, the wick has caught fire, and now it is flickering up on its own. So that's why Beha'aloscha caused the candelabra, caused its wick, caused its flame to flicker up, ad sheteh shalevis ola me'eleh, till it catches, till it's on fire, till the flame is going on its own. In fact, many interpret from here, this is the mission and message of every parent. This is what chinuch is all about. We represent a candle, a flame, and we touch our flame to the wick of our children, of our neighbors, of our friends, in order to ignite their soul on fire. Ad sheteh shalheves ola me'eleh, till it lifts, till it rises, till it flickers, till that flame illuminates and enlightens on its own. We can withdraw. We're no longer there. We're no longer present. But it continues me'eleh. It continues to flicker. That flame continues to glow. That flame continues to burn bright, even on its own. Says the Imros Tahoros, Zog Torachim Shritzko Rebbe, Sheish b'zeh k'tzas remes lamalas lima Torah lefnei ha'tfila. In this pasuk is an allusion to the value and virtue of learning Torah every day before you go to daven. Some people set their alarm clock, they know exactly. 9 minutes, I could brush my teeth, get dressed, make it to shul, be only 4 minutes late, catch the end of Karbanos. How do you talk to Hashem when you barely have woken up? The crust is still in the corner of your eyes. You've not yet really fully become conscious. And yet, you're going to be talking to Hashem. How do you do that? So, there's a value and a virtue, says the Rebbe, to learning Torah before you daven. Ground and center your mind. Remember who He is and how categorically different we are. Reinvest and re-engage in the relationship. And now when you have the conversation, it'll be so much more meaningful. Where is that hinted to in the Pasuk? Where do you see that in the beginning of Parshas Ba'aloscha? Ki ha'yidei shelomdim Torah lefnei ha'tfila, mo'al achar kach b'shas ha'tfila, sheyuchal lesbal karoi. If you learn Torah and you touch that flame to that wick, then the wick of tefillah will rise, it will elevate, it'll burn, it will illuminate on its own. And that's, we know, ki ner mitzvah, The Torah, or the Pasuk in Mishlei, tells us that a mitzvah is likened to a candle, and Torah is likened to the light. Shaidei lomei Torah hua or lefnei mitzvah shua tefila. And that's the meaning of the pasuk. When you stand in order to daven, you want to connect, you want to be in communication, you want to rendezvous with the divine. Turn to the menorah and hold that flame. Learn Torah. Or ha menorah hu remez or ha Torah. The idea is that Yair near mitzvah zut fila. Lze perish Rashi. Tzarach ha'adam lahadlik atzma ba'or ha'torah atshete shalheves ish ha'tfila ole me'eleha. If you want the candle of tefila to go up, you want to light that spark of davening, of genuine, authentic, meaningful conversation with Hashem, first learn. The menorah represents Torah. First engage el mul pnei menorah. First learn Torah. And then the shalheves ole me'eleha. Then it'll flicker up where you'll be able to have a conversation. All of this is a shameless plug for the Kol HaBoker. We're in the second week of the Kol HaBoker. It's going phenomenally well. 6:15 to 7 every day. Then 7 o'clock. We grew out of the Beis Medrash already. There's no room. Baruch Hashem, more than 30 men every morning. 6:15 a.m. Incredible. We're learning every day. Kol HaBoker. It changes not only your day and your learning, it changes your davening. By the time you come to Shacharis, you've already been talking to Hashem for 45 minutes. By the time you come to Shacharis, you've already been remembering who He is and engaging and learning about Him. So you see this from our Pasuk, that first turn to the menorah, engage Torah, and then the shalheves of tefillah will be ole me'eleha. But it's true even if you're davening at home. Many women who don't go to minyan all week long. It's true even if you're not making it to the Kol HaBoker. Spend a couple of minutes, open something, challenge your mind, learn some Torah, recenter yourself in terms of who He is and why you're having this conversation. Why is He the one that you're turning to ask? Because recentering through Torah will be enormously influential, impactful in then the quality of the tefillah that will follow. The Heilige Rav Nachman has a different interpretation. Says Rav Nachman of Breslov, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan Leil of the Beis HaMikdash, is the symbol of Torah and Chochmah. The seven branches of the menorah are the seven wisdoms of the world. Torah, of course, is the primary wisdom. That's the center branch of the menorah. But the other six branches are the other wisdoms that the Gra studied, the Gra was aware of and familiar with, science and mathematics. There are all kinds of wisdoms through which we access, according to the Rambam, we come to learn and thereby to love Hashem. And the menorah is that symbol of wisdom, the symbol of Torah. And Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Me'oron Chelek Aleph Siman Aleph, Ayidei HaTorah Miskablos Kol HaTfilos HaBakashos Shel Yisrael. Without Torah, tefillah is inadequate. Without learning Torah, engaging Torah, living Torah, being curious about Torah, and you're all fulfilling this, being here at a Parsha Shir, listening and watching and imbibing and absorbing the messages of Torah, that is the prerequisite to a meaningful tefillah. How does that work? Can't a person be an ignoramus? Can't a person choose to not challenge their intellectual approach? Don't learn, but daven. Daven sincerely and from the heart and shuckle and sway. Why are they connected? Because Misha'ena lomei Torah, says Rav Nachman in Likutei Moharan, whoever doesn't learn Torah, gam tfiloso eino miskabelas. If you don't learn Torah, the tefillah is not accepted. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei Perachav Ches Pasuk Tes, mesir ozno mishmo a Torah, gam tfiloso to'eva. A person who removes their ear from hearing Torah. It's very intentional, the language of Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech. Mesir ozno. You remove your ear. You don't want to hear. You know, I was raised, my father always taught me, it's one thing to not make it to a shir, but it's another thing to get up and walk out. And you see this phenomenon all the time. Daily. Between Mincha and Maariv, there's a Dvar Torah every day, 6-minute sitter snippets or some other Dvar Torah. And there are the people after Mincha get up and walk out. They'd rather schmooze in the lobby. They'll chop Maariv. They'll come back in a couple minutes. You see it on Yontif where you have a long shir between a Mincha and a Maariv. They get up, they walk out, they go schmooze, they even go learn in another room. It's one thing to not make it to the shir. It's another when you were there to get up and to walk out. Mesir ozno mishmoa Torah. Not interested, disconnected. Today you don't have to physically get up and go out in order to check out. Today, if between Mincha Maariv, you take out your phone and you think you're listening passively, but you're really scrolling and texting and you're checking what happened that day and you're checking your status and you're checking the stock market, checking what time the Heat game is tonight. You're not really there. Physically you may be present, but you're absent present because you're really on your phone. You're not really there. Such a person who is invited and has the opportunity, he's already in the room when Torah is being proclaimed, Torah is being shared, and their mesir ozno mishmoa Torah, shut one's ear from hearing Torah. Not interested, disconnected, distracted, literally walking out, or metaphorically walking out. Gam tfiloso to'eva. The davening of such a person is repulsive to Hashem. So it means the marav, after you spent between mincha marav on your phone, is a to'eva to Hashem. Maybe we should post this in shuls everywhere. Kal yoseh lespala me'asher lulmo. Where does this come from? Says Rab Nachman, which is harder, to daven or to learn? It depends who you are. Different people have different inclinations. But on the whole, we know there are people who daven three times a day who barely ever open a sefer. Davening, you feel connected. I need to ask, I need to thank, I need to praise, I need to communicate. But learning is hard. Learning people struggle to relate to. V'afil laso zos bezlavas bezrakshus. Av abli limud Torah lo rakshah tfila zos ein erech ela shim mu'usa be'enei Hashem. Without it being on the foundation and against the backdrop of learning Torah, so the tefillah is lacking a value, it's lacking a context, it's lacking a credibility. How could I talk to you and have a relationship with you? I'm going to try to suggest what Reb Nachman means. It doesn't say it here in the Sefer. I would suggest maybe what he means is the following. How could I talk to you if I don't bother ever listening to you? If I'm never interested in hearing what you have to say, what's the value of my communication with you? Our davening is our talking to Hashem. Our learning Torah is Hashem talking to us. Whenever we open a sefer, whenever we go to a shir, whenever we want to hear what the divine message is for us, we're listening to Hashem. He's sharing His blueprint for creation. He's giving us His instruction manual for life. He's giving us insight into our own psyche, into relationships. He's telling us the prescription for life. And if you never open a sefer, you never go to a shir, you're not interested in what He has to say, then what value is there in your talking to Him? When asked, one of the pieces of advice I give, what to look for on dates, a young couple, they're in Shidduchim, I say, you know, does the other person only talk about themselves, or do they have an interest and a genuine curiosity about you? Does the whole meal revolve around them? Do they monopolize the conversation? Are they offering everything about their life? Or do they ever stop and say, enough about me, tell me about you. Let me hear, where did you go this, and how was this, and what do you feel about this, and what's your hobby about that? If the person's not interested in you, what's the value of their communication? So if you never learn Torah, if you never want to hear what Hashem has to say, and all you want to do is talk to Him, I need this, I need that, I need the other thing. Thank you for giving me that yesterday, please give me that again tomorrow. And Hashem says, can I get a word in here edgewise? Do you mind? Can I say something? Can I tell you about my needs, my wants? And no, not interested. I go on my phone between Milcha Marav. I don't go to any shir. In fact, I walk out even when I was there, and there's one being offered. So sorry, Hashem, no, you can't get a word in edgewise. I just want to talk to you about everything I need, but I'm not really interested in hearing what you have to say or about your needs. Such a tefillah is a to'eva, says the Pasuk in Mishlei. Not just that tefillah is not the highest quality, that tefillah is in fact a to'eva. It's repulsive to Hashem. What does that have to do with anything here? There's a long Reb Nachman, but I'll skip to the end. This is the pshat in the Pasuk. We take this from the Sefer Shulchan HaShabbos Reb Nachman. The teachings of Reb Nachman applied to the parsha. Daber el Aaron, hu atzadik asher malo mesakin es nishmas Yisrael, yamarte elav, b'ha'aloscha saneros, kasher ata malo es nishmas Yisrael, shenim shalu leneros, el mul p'nei ha'menorah, ya'iru sheva saneros. When you want to elevate a Yid, a Jew, b'ha'aloscha, when you want to lift, when you want to elevate, when you want to inspire, when you want to ignite the spark of a Yid, of a Jew, where do you need to direct them? Where do you need to turn them? El mul p'nei ha'menorah. Turn them to stop and listen to what Hashem has to say. Learn Torah. Engage Torah. Connect to Torah. And then it'll change your davening and your chesed and your relationships and your life. A Yid, a man, a woman, every day needs to engage, needs to experience. Torah is the tavlin. Hashem created a Yetzirah. We have all kinds of impulsive and compulsive behaviors, temptation, drive, desire. And what is the tavlin? What is the medicine? What is the antidote? It's Torah. Torah gives us, it empowers us to navigate this complicated world. So Hashem says, stop talking for a minute and listen to me. Because if all you know how to do is talk and you never want to listen, we don't really have much of a conversation going on here at all. And in fact, all your talk is a to'eva to me. because all you want to do is talk. You're not interested in listening. So where does it begin? Listening to Hashem. And once we listen, we say, now Hashem, we have something to share. Want to say thanks, want to say praise, and also want to share in with you our needs, because we're conceding, we're surrendering, that you are in fact the source of being able to provide whatever it is that we need. Perachav Pasuk Gimel. Perachas Pasuk Gimel. So Aaron receives this instruction about how to light the menorah, and the Torah tells us something. Vayas Kein Aaron. Aaron was told what to do, and Taka, he did what he was told to do. El Mupanei Menorah Helan Erasah. He, in fact, lit the candles towards the candelabra. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, exactly as Moshe had instructed. Hashem had instructed through Moshe. And we've alluded to, we've spoken a little bit about this in the past. The Parsha is the same Parsha. So much of the Parsha we've always spoken about in the past. Each year we bring new ideas, new sources, and new perspectives for today. So much ink. Harbe Dio Nishtabchu Vahamon Kumusim Nishtabru. The Otzer Plos HaTorah says, much ink has spilled, and many quills have broken over the question of what is the Torah telling us that Vayas Kein Aaron, Aaron did what he was asked. That's a chiddush. He's Aaron HaKohen. He's Aaron HaKohen. To say Aaron did what he was commanded? Duh. Tell me something I don't know. He's Aaron. He's Aaron. Aaron and Moshe are the greatest of their generation. Of course he followed. And Rashi compounds it because Rashi says, Lahagid shvacho shel Aaron shaloshina. This is the praise of Aaron. He didn't deviate. He didn't distort. He didn't change. He followed what he was asked. And much ink has been spilled and many quills have been broken trying to evaluate and analyze what in the world is Rashi telling us. This is the praise of an Aaron, Shiloshina, that he didn't deviate or distort or change or pervert what Hashem had told him. Of course he didn't. He's Aaron. He's compliant. He's obedient. He's an Eved Hashem. That's the praise, Shiloshina. So we've shared in the past the beautiful insight. Shiloshina is not talking about the instruction or the command. What is Shiloshina? What didn't change? Aaron. Aaron was tapped for this position of distinction. Aaron was tasked with this incredibly prominent role. And you know what? Loshina. He remained the same humble, modest person. He got a title. He got prominence. He was a big influencer. He had a big stage. He had a big role. He had a big responsibility. And you know with all that? Loshina. He didn't change. He was the same Aaron, Oivis Abrius. He was the same person who loved people, who loved peace, who loved Torah, who was humble, who was modest, who was available. Loshina is not talking about he didn't change the command or how he fulfilled it. Loshina is he didn't change. Another interpretation of Loshina means, first time he was asked to light those candles, how do you think he did it? Did it with passion and energy and enthusiasm and vigor. Ooh, ah, this is his moment. He was jealous, Rashi also tells us. He was jealous at the end of last week's Parsha, Laman Nismacha. Why do we have the menorah right after the story of the Karbonos of the Nesiim, the 12 princes who offered the exact same Karbon? Because Aaron looked at Hashem and he said, it's not fair to me. How come they bring a Karbon and I don't? And what did Hashem say? I would have expected Hashem to say, what's the matter with you? What are you, 2 years old? It's not fair to you. It's not your job. Your job is your job. Their job is your job. What's the problem? That's what I would have expected Hashem to say. Stop crying. Don't be a crybaby. You get what you get and you don't get upset. Everybody gets their thing. It's not what Hashem says. What does Hashem say? You're envious? You're jealous? You wonder where yours is? Don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry. You also get yours. You get to light the candelabra. You'll do that in perpetuity. You light the menorah. It's a very interesting answer from Hashem. Instead of putting Aaron in his place, he seems to reward Aaron for his jealousy. We've spoken about that in the past. You could listen to a previous shir to find out the answer to it. Shiloshina means he didn't lose his enthusiasm. He didn't lose his energy, his excitement. The millionth time he lit the menorah had the same energy, enthusiasm, and passion as the first time. So those two words, Shiloshina, he didn't change. Did he not change the commandment, how he fulfilled it? Did he not change his own attitude? Or did he not change what he brought to the mitzvah, his energy, all those we've shared in the past. But Otzer HaPlos HaTorah quotes several others. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, in his Teferis Yonasan, says the following. How tall was Aaron? Chazal tell us, he was 15 feet tall. Eser Amos. Is it meant literally? Is it meant metaphorically? He was tall. No growth hormone for Aaron. He was very tall. So he didn't need that step up. Remember I told you one of the interpretations of Rashi, Beha'aloscha, is that there was a platform in front of the menorah. You could step up to the menorah to light it, otherwise you'd have to reach. Did Aaron need that platform? No. Aaron was 10 amas tall. He could have reached it. Nevertheless, he stepped on the platform because that's what the Torah told us. And when he stood on that platform, he had to bend his head. Otherwise, he would have hit his head on the roof of the Mishkan. Says even though he didn't need the platform, he could have moved it out of the way, he stepped up onto it to not stand out. If all the other Kohanim would need to stand on it, he did too. It meant he had to bend his head. He was humble enough to bend his head when he needed to, but Loshina, he wasn't going to change or deviate from the way all the other Kohanim did it as well. So that's interpretation number 4. That's new this year, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, in his Teferes Yehonasan. I'll tell you another one, comes from the Otoplos HaTorah himself. He says, "Lahagish shvachah shel Aaron sheloshina she'afa pishaya Aaron HaKohen oiv shalom v'rodev shalom." Aaron HaKohen, how did he spend his day? Tennis? Golf? Mahjong? Lying by the pool reading a book? Sipping pina coladas? What did Aaron do with his time? He was busy oiv shalom v'rodev shalom. He never retired. He didn't slow down. He didn't have hobbies. You know what Aaron HaKohen's hobby was? Making peace between people. Oiv shalom v'rodev shalom. Solving machlokas, reuniting family members, friends, community. Hayatarod me old savaro beisukov ulahashchin shalom ben adam lachaver ben ish leishto. He was doing marriage counseling. He was doing mediation. He was bringing peace and harmony to the Jewish people. V'cheinu oves abrisu mekarv in the Torah. And when he wasn't busy doing that, you know what he was doing? Outreach, kiruv, putting tefillin on people. He was teaching them Torah. He was running partners in Torah. He's a pretty busy man. When you're involved and engaged in outreach, follow up. You want to come for Shabbos dinner. You want to meet at Starbucks and learn a little bit. To come partners in Torah. Don't miss that night. Let's solve another machlokas. He was busy. He was running. So you might have thought, Aaron, he's running. He's doing noble things. So he'll delegate. He'll delegate the lighting of the menorah to somebody else. Or the menorah could take 5 minutes to light if you have a lot of kavana. It could take 60 seconds to light because you got to get back to kiruv and you got to get back to mediation. You got to get back to getting rid of machlokas. But Aaron Loshina, he didn't change whatsoever. He had the capacity, unusual, difficult, that with a million things on your mind and so much to do, noble, mitzvahs, righteous things, it's so hard to concentrate and be present for a mitzvah. But lahagit shvacha shloshina, despite all that Aaron had on his mind, despite all that he had on his plate, despite all that he was doing, he was never distracted. He had the capacity to be present in whatever he was doing. When he was lighting the menorah, he was lighting the menorah. When he was doing kiruv, he was doing kiruv. When he was making peace, he was making peace. But they didn't overlap or infringe on the other activity. Whatever he was meant to be doing, he was fully present in that moment, doing that thing in that moment. The other night, the community welcomed the tzaddik of Avram Tzvi Kluger. Rav Kluger is a great Kabbalist, a great mystic, a great Talmud Chacham. He's a great Rebbe in Beit Shemesh in Israel. Nezer Yisrael is the name of his base medrash. He's put out many, many, many svarim. Very, very special person. And he's here. And he spoke at the yeshiva in conjunction with the shul the other night. And there, he mentioned in passing that Rav Vosner in his tshuva, Shevet Alevi, Tshuva Aleph, Chelek Zayin, Siman Aleph. In the first tshuva of Chelek Zayin, Rav Vosner is asked from a rabbi who is so occupied and preoccupied with his avodas Hashem, with teaching and helping and supporting and inspiring others, he says, I can't concentrate in davening. I go to daven, and what happens when I go to daven? I go to daven, and I'm distracted. I go to daven, and I'm thinking about all the meetings I have, all the follow I have to do, all the people who are suffering and struggling, and I can't daven. Your question in Avodas Hashem was like cold water on a tired soul. I see that you're striving, that you want to elevate. And all of your doubts and all of your challenges are coming from a very holy and a very pure place. And even though I'm empty and I'm poor, maybe the fact that I'm a little bit older and maybe I have a little bit more experience, maybe I could approach your question. And he writes him a tshuva. And towards the end of the tshuva, he says the following. And I just heard this from Rav Kluger this week, and it reminded me of this insight of the Otzer Plos HaTorah, that Aaron Loshina, he never got tired. He never got overwhelmed. He never got distracted. He never wasn't able to, to concentrate. And any poter chas v'shalom marbitzei Torah mechadidei atalmidim midin tefila. Says Rav Osner, we cannot exempt those who teach Torah from davening. D'lo'olam tzarech l'smeitz l'kayim shneim. You have to assert yourself. You have to have the courage, the conviction, the resolve, the resiliency to do both. Dizman Torah l'chud, uzman tefila l'chud. Be present, fully present with whatever you're meant to be doing. When you're giving a shir, give a shir. And when you're davening to Hashem, daven to Hashem. And don't stand during davening, flipping through the sefer, preparing the shir. Find the ability to be present with whatever you're doing. As the Gemara in Shabbos Dav Yud says, "Avav Ratzoni Lahabim Mikolze Adim BeEmes Mach Mastir Das Atamidim VaOme Kaiyun Lo Yuchal Pam LaTzamtzim BeKavanas Atfila." But if it comes out, if it turns out that because you're so overwhelmed and you're thinking about your beloved students and you are so devoted to them and you're concentrating on caring about them and all the follow up you have to do with them, and because of that you're distracted from davening, Kasherim Levav Atahor Lo Yup Lo Yipol Rucho BeKirva Adeze Kitir Das Hamitzvah Garma. Don't become despondent. Don't become depressed. Don't give up. So if the quality of your davening is not a 10 out of 10, if the quality of your davening is a 2 out of 10 because you're so distracted thinking about the yeshiva and you got to raise the money and you love your talmidim and you got to prepare this year, ain't a love din tefila of warzeh, don't worry, that's still davening. That's still a davening. Don't become depressed. Don't become despondent. But what's the goal? What's the ambition? Torah l'chud, utfila l'chud. And now you understand Rashi. If Rav Osner has to write this tshuva to a holy yid who's so distracted, and he says, I can't, my davening is suffering. I'm thinking about my shir, I'm thinking about my talmidim, I'm thinking about the money I have to raise. I can't. And Rav Osner says, you can. So this is the shvach, this is the praise of an Aaron HaKohen, Shaloshina. Shaloshina, that he was never distracted in the process. Okay. A lot more he has on this, as you can imagine. But let's move on. Peraches pasuk yirches. Turn the page. Consecration of the Levium towards their holy work. And the Levium take over for someone. The Levium have a very significant role and very holy work. However, they were not originally designated for this holy work and for this holy task. Pasuk says, Peraches pasuk yirches. Hashem says, I take the Levium, I designate the Levium, in whose stead? Who should have been this designation? Who should have had this role? The Bechor, the firstborn. But Hashem took it from the firstborn and instead gave it to the Levium. What happened? What went wrong? Why was it withdrawn from one and given to the other? So the Chizkuni gives a very interesting reason. Chizkuni kosav tam nifla madua nifchor Levium tachas Bechorim. And this is the language of the Chizkuni. The classic understanding is the Chet HaEgel. It's the mistake of the Chet HaEgel. The Bechor participated, they lost their designation. And the Levium, who did not participate in the Chet HaEgel, got it instead. But the Chizkuni gives a different reason. Listen to this Parsha perspective for today. Says the Chizkuni, what would be the problem if the Bechor served in that role of the Levi? ran the Beis HaMikdash, contributed to the leadership of the Beis HaMikdash, what would be the problem? What is a Bechor? A Bechor is a firstborn. So just because someone had a firstborn son doesn't mean that they were a firstborn son. So what will that Bechor be lacking? What will they be missing? An example, a role model, a father who already is the precedent, sets the precedent. How could you serve if you don't have a parent who's a role model for the very service that's expected of you? And that would undermine the service, the quality of the service. That would undermine what they would do. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu took it from the Bechor and gave it to Levi. Because every Levi's father is a Levi. And the Levi's father's father is a Levi. And the Levi's son will be a Levi. So there'll be a transmission because there'll be an example. It's a very interesting, beautiful insight of the Chizkuni. The danger and the risk of leaving the leadership in the hands of the Bechor is that this Bechor's father might not be a Bechor. And then he won't have an example. You see this also in the Haftorah of last week's Parsha. Rav Schwab says, when the angel visits the wife of Manoach and says, your son's going to be a Nazir, no haircut, and so on. And then Eshus Manoach comes and reports it to Manoach. What does Manoach say? Nah, get the angel back. I want to hear it again. And then the angel comes back and simply repeats the exact same thing he once said. And now Manoach says, okay, we're good to go. So first of all, what kind of marriage was that? Manoach didn't trust Eshus Manoach? He had to have the angel come back? And moreover, the angel didn't add anything new. So why did Manoach accept it now? So Rav Schwab brilliantly says, look at the pasuk. He did say something a little bit different. When the angel comes back, he repeats and he says, Tishmor. All of these things, observe, safeguard, be careful. And says Rav Schwab, that doesn't mean safeguard that your son is a Nazir. It means whatever you expect of your son, you need to keep first. What was Manoach saying to his wife? I want the angel to come back. Why? What Manoach was saying was, I'm supposed to have a son as a Nazir. How? How will he be a Nazir? How will he know how? How will he know what to do? How will he have the conviction to continue to be a Nazir? So the angel comes back and says, I'll tell you how. You be a Nazir. You want your child to daven well? How do they see you, Davin? You want your child to love Shabbos? What do they hear are your feelings toward Shabbos? You want your child to have Emunah? Do they see you panic? Or do they see you living with Emunah? Whatever you expect and want in your child, you have to first exhibit. You have to practice first. And that's the reason the Chizkuni says, so much so that Kadosh Baruch Hu changed from the Bechor to the Leviim, because that inherently wouldn't be possible with Bechor. Not every Bechor's father was, by definition, a Bechor as well. Parshas Baal Oschol then continues with Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. Page 778. Perek Tes. Pasuk Aleph. Vayedaber Shem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Shana Hashenis L'Tzeis L'Meretz Mitzrayim b'Chodesh HaRishon Le'Mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael Pesach b'Moado. Keep Pesach in its time. Now fast forward. Vayan Hashem. What happened? Pasuk Vav. There were people, Asher Yitumeim L'Nefesh Adam. They were impure. Why? What was the source of their impurity? Why were they disqualified from participating in the original Pesach? So the Gemara records several positions. One, maybe they're carrying the bones of Yosef. Remember, Yosef made the Jews promise, don't leave me here in Mitzrayim. Take me out. Bury me in the Holy Land when you get there. Someone had to be carrying his bones. So those who were carrying Arun Asher Yosef, those who were carrying Yosef's bones, were impure. They were ineligible to participate in the first Pesach. And now they are the ones who come and step up and complain and need the second. Others say it was a Meis Mitzvah. There was a Jew who died and there was no one to care for him. And they stepped up and these were people who were Tumei L'Nefesh because they cared for him, because they cared for him. Or, so these were Tumei L'Nefesh. And they come and they step forward to Moshe, Vayomra Anashim Ha'ema, Anachnu Tumei L'Nefesh Adam. We were disqualified from participating in the first Korban Pesach. But Lama Nigara, it's not fair to us. Second time in the Parsha, first Aaron. Parsha begins with Aaron, not fair to me. And Hashem rewards him. I love that attitude. I love it. Not because I want you to be jealous and envious and overly competitive with your brothers, but I want you to be hungry. I want you to have drive. I want you to have ambition. I want you to feel you want a chance to stay up all night and learn with your father on Shavuos. You want a chance to go to shul. You want a chance to volunteer for chesed. Not fair to me. Not fair to me because you're hungry for some spiritual ambition. That's geschmack. That's gewaldig. That's fantastic. And now the second time, the people who precipitated, those who were the catalyst for the whole holiday of Pesach Sheni, they said those iconic two words. Lama nigara. Why should we be deprived? I ask you, if you were told, you don't have to keep Pesach this year, you're off. You're ineligible. You get a pass. You're disqualified. No hard feelings. You're good to go. No punishment. Not your fault. Take the year off. No Pesach. How many of us would be screaming from the rooftops, Lama nigara? No way. Not fair to me. I want Pesach. No way. Lama nigara, that attitude. Lama nigara. I want to go to shul. I want to learn. I want to do chesed. I want to go on that trip. I want to make that difference. Lama nigara. Kadosh Baruch Hu applauds. He loves the attitude of Lama nigara. Aaron exhibited it at the beginning of the parsha, and now we have these holy Jews who exhibit it and who introduce, because of them, we are introduced to an entirely new mitzvah, Pesach Sheni. Turn the page. So Hashem, Moshe takes this to Hashem. It's above his pay grade, so to say. One of the areas of halacha that was schadish, that was novel and new. And Hashem gives him the answer, the Bar Bnei Yisrael Emor, Ish Ish Ki Yatamei L'Nefesh, O B'derech Rechoka Lachem. If a Jew is ineligible to be part of the Korban Pesach because he's impure or because he's too far away, so then, in the second month, on the 14th day, you don't have to clean the house. You're allowed to have chametz. No four cups of wine. But it is matzah and moror, the Korban Pesach, sheni. And it too, you can't leave it over until the next night. So why is Pesach sheni in Iyar? They didn't need a full month in order for those who were impure to become pure. Those who were too far away to get there. So why is it a whole month later, the 14th of Iyar, rather than the 14th of Nisan? Why is Pesach Sheni a month later? So the Baal HaTurim writes, the reason is the following. B'chodesh Hashem levik shema'abir nashana az Iyar b'makom Nisan. When you add a leap year, what do you add? A month of Adar. So it turns out that without the leap year, the 14th of Iyar would have been the 14th of Nisan. So, you see, Yeshaychas l'chodesh Iyar im chodesh Nisan. Those 2 months have an overlap. They have a connection. It's only with the introduction of a leap year that you pushed it off, but otherwise, they could take up the same space, so to say. So when there's a delay for a Pesach Sheni, it dafka happens on in the month of Iyar, in the month of Iyar. The Yavetz writes in a Siddur, Tam Pesach Sheni shukva b'Iyar gilu li min ha-shamayim. The reason that Pesach Sheni is in Iyar was revealed to me from the heavens. Shabo kol chosach harara sheotziyo mimitzrayim. You know why? That's the date that we ran out of matzah from Egypt. When we left Egypt, we left with matzah, and that's when we ran out. The fichach akorchach nimshach nesis yis mitzrayim achilus matzah v'lachein Pesach Sheni matzah v'chametz imo b'bayis k'mo sha'ibhaim rishon. So on Pesach Sheni you have chametz and matzah. Now you're done with matzah. You've introduced chametz. You have chametz and matzah, just like you did the first Pesach in Mitzrayim. And that's why it's in Iyar, on the 14th of Iyar. That's when we ran out. That's when we ran out. That's what the Yavetz brings. Very interesting language. When he says, Gilu li min hashamayim. It was revealed to me for heaven. And that's all the Otzer Plos HaToros needed to hear to then go on for pages and pages and pages of other examples of great rabbis who say, it was revealed to me from the heavens. How did I come upon this idea? How do I know this truth? It was revealed to me from the heavens, pages and pages. The Ravid and the Rambam writes, Hofia Ruach HaKodesh. Achronim, we talk about Maros Cholom, was given to me in a dream. We have the Tshuvas Min HaShemayim. Everything was revealed in a dream. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, the Shulchan Aruch, has the Magid, who used to come to him in his dreams. The Magid Min HaShemayim. Beis Yosef wrote a sefer, the Magid Meisharim. The answers to all those halachic questions that were revealed to him in his sleep, in a dream. And we have many others. Again, he goes on and on. Such a beautiful Otzer Plos HaTorah. He collects these great. Every time an Achron said, how did I know this? How did I stumble upon this? Yeah, it came in a dream. It came while I was asleep. It came while I was dozing off. was revealed to me from the heavens. Very, very interesting. That's why Pesach Sheni is in the second month. Again, you can listen to previous Shurim, and we dived into the Pesach Sheni much deeper. It's the month of second chances, the Yontif of second chances. Yontif of second chances. What's the connection to Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef gave his brothers a second chance. And that was the argument to Hashem. We're carrying the bones of Yosef. Yosef, the father of second chances, he gave his brothers a second chance. Hashem, give us a second chance. We, Lama Nigara, we also want to be able to bring the Karban Pesach, a lot more. Ubederech lo haya. Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Haisha Asher Tahor. Somebody who was holy, was pure. Ubederech lo haya. And was not on the road. V'chadal la'asos ha-Pesach. They simply neglected to make Pesach. Do they also get a chance? Somebody says, I don't feel like it. I'm Tahor. I'm close by. Well, not in the mood. V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-yimei ha-mea. The punishment is karis. Ki korban Hashem lo-hikr b'mo'adoh cheto yisa ishahu. Person neglected to bring the korban in the right time. Such an individual bears their iniquity. They bear their sin. So listen to this incredible Rabbi Kiva Eger. The lashon, the language of the pasuk was, what was the language of the pasuk? B'derech lo haya. B'derech lo haya. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, in Drushe v'chidush Rabbi Kiva Eger on the Torah, he writes, Ha'ish asher hu tahor, u'b'derech lo haya. Someone who is pure, and who was not on the road. Nira lomar, aderech melitza, said Rabbi Kiva Eger, you know what you can derive from here? Kisha adam yoshe b'beso, harei u'mekayim kol ha-mitzvahs karoi. Aval kisha yotzi l'aderech, shuv einu mekayim ha-mitzvahs kitikunam. And where do you see this hinted to in the pasuk? Ha'isha asher hu tahor b'derech lo haya. If you want to be pure, if you want to have a good routine, if you want to develop a good habit and pattern of how to live a righteous life, I got my minyan, I got my dafyomi, I got my sleep pattern, I eat my healthy meals, I got my Peloton, I got my exercise, I got my chavrusa, I spend my time with my family, I got all my routine. I've got all my parameters in place. I've got everything positioned to lead my best life. And then you go off on the road. I know people like this. I'm related to people like this. Such creatures of habit. All is amazing when they're on their home turf. And then they have to go off on the road and there's a panic kicks in. Where are we davening mincha? Where are we going? What time is it going to be? How do I go for this? What do I do with this? How do I grind? How do I make my coffee? Where do I go? V'derech. So that's the Rabbi Kiva Eger says, if you want to live your best self, ha'ish asher hu tahor, b'derech lo haya. Now some people have no choice. The business people have to travel. You travel for pleasure, to see Hashem's world, to gain from it. But on the whole, don't always be running and going and frantic. It's very hard to fall into a healthy routine. It's a gevaldik Rabbi Kiva Eger. Ha'ish asher hu tahor is the one who's b'derech lo haya. Don't be running around. Don't be frantic. Don't be switching it up. Don't be on the move. Have a pattern, have a perspective, have a strategy to live your best. Okay, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav. Here we go. Next Perek, page 782. Vaydeber Hashem Moshe Lemor Aset Lecha Shtei Chatzrotzros Kesef Mikshar Ta'asa Osam V'Hayu Lecha Lemikra Eidah Lemaaseh Es HaMachanos. We have the trumpets. Kodesh Baruch Hu designed trumpets for us. They're used to call the people. They're used to call the Nesiim. They're used to gather everyone. Last year we shared a great insight. Maybe we'll revisit it this year in another context. Every generation needs its own trumpets. The call for every generation is different. We develop a different language, a different vocabulary. The Torah is timeless, but how it's communicated needs to be able to land for each generation is different. The order for breaking the camp, Moshe invites. Before we get to Moshe invites Yisro to remain. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayomer Moshe lechova ben Ruel amidyani chosin Moshe nosim anachnu lamok mashamar Hashem oso etain lachem. Moshe tells his father-in-law Yisro, nu, lecha itanu, come with us. Ve'itavnu lach, and be good to us, ki Hashem diber tova Yisrael. Vayomer elav, and Yisro says, lo elech, I'm not going. Why? Ki el imelatzi ve'el molarati elech. I gotta go home. I gotta go back to my hometown. I've gotta go back to where I come from. But Yomer Anatazov. And now Moshe Moshe pleads with the Shver, don't leave, you can't go, I beg you, don't abandon us. You are our eyes, meaning you're an outsider, you're a Jew by choice, you elected to join us, you didn't have to, you weren't born into this, you're not obligated, and yet you chose to. Don't go anywhere, don't go anywhere, we want you to stay, we want you to stay, don't go anywhere, don't go anywhere. And what does Yisro decide? What does Yisro conclude? What does Yisro conclude? Not sure. We don't know. Torah leaves it as open-ended. All of a sudden, now they're on the road. Was Moshe compelling? Did he convince him? Did it work? We don't know. Why does the Torah leave it ambiguous? Machlokas Rishonim. Did Yisro stay? Did Yisro go? We don't know. Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, why was Yisro... Why did he want to leave? Why did he want to leave? Why was he struggling with staying? So the Otzah Plaza Torah quotes something very interesting from the Sfarno. Shelo tizbol zikinasi ziknasi avir eretz acheretz umizono seha. Yisro says, I have to go home. El artzi ve'el moladati. You know why? I'm an old man. And I don't breathe well here. And I don't digest your food well. I've got to go home. So similar to the Rebbe Akiva Eger we just saw. Person does best in their natural habitat. That's where you do best. And Yisro was saying to him, it's been fun. I enjoyed it. I've appreciated the visit. But according to the Sfarno, lo tizbol ziknasi, my old age can't bear your food and your air. These Sfarno also explains the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim the same way. And we see the same attitude in the Sefer Yosifun, Otzah Plaza Torah quotes. Very interesting. The doctors say, "Ein lo refuah she'atishta v'tirchatz v'tana mimei mekoma," that there are many people who can't drink the water where they go. They can only drink the tap water where they're from. Our tap water is the best. New Yorkers love to talk about their tap water. Our tap water is the best. But then you go, everybody knows you go to Israel, you better buy the Me'edin. If you're not there long enough to acclimate to the tap water, don't try it. You'll miss your whole trip. We'll leave it at that. Don't try it. So where does this come from? The notion that when you travel and you go somewhere new and then you have to now adjust to their diet, to their food, to their air, to their drink, to their water. Yisro, that's what Yisro's complaint was, I gotta go home. It's been fun, I gotta go home. El artzi, el moladati, I need my chavrusa, I need my minyan, I need my bed, I need my tap water, I gotta go home. Isn't that interesting? I found it interesting. Okay, let's keep going. Perek Yud. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayisumei Hashem. So we're left not knowing. Did Moshe persuade him? Did he not? Don't know. Why would the Torah leave it ambiguous? We've addressed that in the past as well. Vayisumei Hashem Derech Shlosh Hashemim. They travel from the Mount of Hashem 3 days, which is the Har Hashem, where they exit, where they leave, where they depart from. Sinai, Har Sinai. And Aaron Bris Hashem Nesilat Neim Derech Shlosh Hashem Lasur Lahem Menucha. And the Aron of the Bris Hashem, the Aron journeyed before them 3 days distance to search out a resting place. Vanan Hashem aleim yomam, and the cloud was over them during the day. Binasam min amachaneh, as they journeyed and as they traveled, the cloud was over them during the day. Rav Druk, going back to Ish Tamid, to Rav Druk. Rashir quotes, Vayisumei Hashem, they went for 3 days, and the Aron went 3 days ahead of them, and all of a sudden, Pasuk Lamed, hey, what do we encounter? Normally we're used to text in the Torah, and all of a sudden we get not just text, we get the nunin hafuchim, upside down inverted nuns. The nun that is a bracket before and after the two psukim, vayibin so aron, the pasuk we sing when we take the Torah out, uvenucha yomar, the pasuk we sing or say when we put the Torah back, that are bracketed off, these two psukim, by the nun before and after. Why do we have these brackets? Says Rashi, also los simanios milafanov milacharav lo marshein zemekomo. They don't belong here. These tipsukim are out of place, so they're brackets to tell us they don't belong here. V'lama nichtav kan. So if they don't really belong here chronologically or thematically, why are they inserted here? Why did Hashem edit His Torah to put them here if they don't belong here? Kede lahafsik bein peranos leperanos. Because two bad things happen, and it wouldn't look good to have two bad things in a row. We don't want the momentum. We don't want the poor impression of two bad things in a row. So we break it up. So we insert what doesn't belong here with brackets to break it up in order to interrupt the Puranos, one bad thing and the other bad thing. Great. Helpful? Useful? Good. Got it. What are the bad things? So the bad thing after the bracket, I got. What's the bad thing after the bracket? What happens now? Vayam kemisonin emra. A bunch of fabbisin and miserable negative complainers. Some things haven't changed. They're about to become complainers and they're about to illegitimately complain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to wallop them. That's the Puranos afterwards. What's the Puranos before? Puranos Rishona says the Gemara Shabbos Kufta Zayin. What's the Puranos before? Before I tell you the Gemara, just look at the Torah, look at the Pasuk. You have the parasha right open in front of you, page 786. The Art Scroll Stone Chumash. What's the Puranos before? All we did was just read about a conversation. Moshe and Yisrael, now it's time to leave. 3 days, the Aron went ahead of them. What's the Puranos that precedes it? Says the Gemara, Puranos Rishona Vayisume Har Hashem, Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Shesoru Me'acharei Hashem. They didn't walk away from Har Sinai the way we walk away from the Kotel, backwards. How'd they walk away? They ran. They ran away. They ran away. Says Rav Druk, Hinei Yesh La'akshos, Ech Niten Lomar Ki Vayisume Har Hashem Puranos B'meshu Ketina Kaborech M'Beis HaSefer. This is a criticism of Klal Yisrael, that when they finally departed, they ran like a group of school children who are, ask kids right now, some of the schools are already done, others are in the last week. Every kid from 6 years old to 16 years old knows exactly, not how many days, how many hours are left to school. Every teacher knows how many hours are left to school. Every parent who drives carpool knows how many hours are left to school. And I promise you, believe me, when it's over, Ketino kaboreach mi beis ha-sefer. Nobody's walking out backwards. I'll miss you. I don't want to go. I love you. Why does it have to end? Nobody is walking out backwards. Why does it have to end? They run so fast. They are out of there so quickly. They're out of there like Vladimir. So, what's so wrong? How long were the Jewish people at Har Sinai? How long was that stay? They checked in for how long? Shana Shlema. They were there for a full year at Har Sinai. Mimatan Torah Shai Bevav Zayim Sivan. They were there either the 6th or 7th of Sivan in the first year until the 20th of Iyar in the second year. Shaz Nasu. As the Pasuk says, Vayiba Shana Shenet Pachodesh Shenet Be'asim Pachodesh Na'ala Anan Me'al Mishkana Eidus. So, are we really critical of the way they left when they were there for a full year? And moreover, says Rav Druk, and if they decided, we've had enough, I'm out of here. I can't take the water in this place anymore. I can't take the meals. I can't take the bed. I'm done. A year is enough. I got to go home. Then we'd understand why it would be a legitimate criticism. Ketinok, that they're running out. Ketinok, however, who told them to go? Hashem. How did he tell them? When the cloud lifted, when the trumpets blew, the message, the signal came from above, time to go. The ultimate travel agent, Kodesh Baruch Hu, booked our next flight, the next leg of the flight. And he said, it's departure time, let's go. So why are we critical of them? They're boreach, like a tinok mebeis ha-sefer. Al kenir levar b'zeh, says Rav Druk, we can explain, shevebes ein ikra taina al b'nei Yisrael be'atzem zeh shenasu. The criticism is not that they departed. The criticism is not that they left. That was the divine will. It was the way they left. It was the way they left. Because after Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says, and Rashi says, what happened? The Yamsuf split, and what washed up on the shore? All the silver and gold, all the chariots of the Egyptians who drowned in the Yamsuf, it washed up on the shore. And the Pasuk tells us, the Medrash tells us, the Jewish people were collecting it. This slave nation, this slave mentality, they were sticking in their pockets and in the shirts and underneath and carrying however much they could take. By the way, what was Moshe doing? Vayikach Moshe, Asmos Yosef. He wasn't collecting gold and jewelry and silver. What was he collecting? Not Atzmos Yosef, but the etzem of Yosef. He was collecting a masorah, our Torah, our value. Meanwhile, what happens? The Medrash tells us, it's time to go. Moshe goes to them and says, it's time to go. They say, just one more minute. Just two more minutes. Just five more minutes. Can't go. I have more room in my pockets. I can stick more things under my shirt. I have more things I can take. The CEO of Lululemon was there encouraging them. Take as much as you can. Go, enjoy. They were sticking it all in. They were running as much as they could. As much as they could. Just two more minutes, five more minutes. Just a couple more things. And Moshe has to drag them out of there. Says Rav Druk, it was the contrast of the way that they had to be dragged away from Yamsuf. And Moshe didn't even get the words out of his mouth. It's time to go from Har Sinai. Okay, we're out of here. We're done. We're good. We're gone. And the contrast of the hesitation and the delay and they're holding on and give us a few more minutes when it came to Yamsuf, with the contrast of we're out of here like Vladimir. We can't go quickly enough. Like a Tina Kaboreach Mibes HaSefer that they ran out of there. And that's the attitude that we have to have. You know, davening's over. I wish it were still going on. The Seder, the Shir is over. I wish it were a few more minutes. Even when we're going to the next noble deed, and even when it comes from above, from Hashem, that there's the next task at hand. But when it comes to holy things, we should want to hold on. And when it comes to unholy things and the experiences, material ones, that's when we should be ready to go. So it could be perfectly legitimate to have to pivot or transition or go on to the next step of our journey in life. But the attitude we bring to it, where do we delay and wish we could stay longer? And where do we run out of so fast? Because that says everything about our priorities, and it says so much about who we are, says Rav Druk. Vayhi ben so Aron, the second pasuk in these two psukim, Vayhi ben so Aron, and it was when the Aron traveled. And Uvenucha Yomar, sorry, when the Aron traveled, what did Moshe say? It didn't just travel. When the Aron traveled, which meant the people traveled, so Vayomer Moshe said, Kum Hashem, V'yafutzu Oyvecha, rise up Hashem, and scatter the enemies, V'yanus Mesanecha Mipanecha, let those who hate you run away from you. So what happened when the Aron would journey, and the people would journey, what would Moshe do? He offered a tefillah, Kum Hashem, V'yafutzu Oyvecha, and the Das HaKenim, and Balei HaTosfos says, Zui tefillas HaDerech Shalahem. This is the original Tfilas HaDerech. You're about to set out on a journey. You're about to go. You don't want to encounter an enemy. The enemy could be the Canaanites. The enemy can be the Popo. The enemy could be the, don't get pulled over. Don't have a flat tire. Don't get in an accident. Don't be robbed on the side of the road. And the Chizkuni writes similarly. Rav Sadia Gaon says, Vayhi ben Soa, Haya Noeg Sheben Soa Aron, Moshe would say, Haya Na Hashem Ba'azreinu Uvinitzchoneinu. He offered a real Tfilas HaDerech. And the Tfilas HaDerech weren't only these words, Kum Hashem Be'afutzu Aivecha. There was a full Tfilas HaDerech that was said. And it's brought down that this is the origin of Tfilas HaDerech. There's a whole discussion. Who instituted Tfilas HaDerech? When you travel and you journey outside of the city limits and to a place that's dangerous, when do you say Tfilas HaDerech? When you fly, when do you say it? In the airport? When you get into your seat? When the plane starts to accelerate in the runway? When the first wheel lifts off? It's a big machlokas exactly when to say Tfilas HaDerech, but we offer a tefillah. We offer a prayer that our journey be smooth and be safe, and that we arrive at our destination. And who's the one who instituted it? Where did it come from? So, the Avnei Shoham says, from this Balei HaTosfos, Shamati b'shem gadol v'kadosh tzadik yisod olam, Moshe Rabbeinu tikein Tfilas HaDerech. You see, and where did Moshe Rabbeinu, where was he misakin it? Vayomer Moshe, Kumu Hashem v'afutzu v'echa. This is where he was misakin it. This is where Tfilas HaDerech comes from. This is where it originates. Vayi'am kemis onlim. Next pasuk. Miserable, frabisana, negative, incorrigible, complaining people. And Hashem is very strong with them. Hashem is very strong with these people. And there are a lot of questions on this section. We'll end with this. A lot of troubling details. What exactly are they complaining about? If you read this psukim, Vayam Kemason and Rabbi Osnei Hashem, they're saying something's bad in the ears of Hashem. Hashem hears them. But what was the complaint? It's too cold, it's too hot, not enough food, too much food, too spicy, too sweet, too much milchiks, too much kale. What was the complaint? What was the complaint? And we know they complain there's no meat. Says Rashi, how could they say there's no meat? The heir of Rav left Mitzrayim with cattle. Tribes of Reuven and Gad, when it's time to go into Israel, say, let us stay east of the Yarden. We have so much cattle. We have enough flesh. We have so much meat. We don't know what to do. So how could they say now we have no meat? What's really bothering them? And how do they conclude their complaint? Nafshenu yevesha einko. Our life, our soul is parched. It's dry. It's wilted. If you're in the mood for a good steak, you say, my soul is wilted and dry. You say, my stomach is empty. I'm starving. I crave steak. What does it have to do with the dryness of your soul? And how does Moshe react? Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem, lama rios l'avdal, v'lama lo matzasi chen b'einecha, l'osum es masa kol amazeh alai, l'ochal avadi l'aseis es kol amazeh. Moshe reacts so harshly, so severely. They've complained, they've rebelled. Moshe could deal with it. Here, he can't deal with it anymore. What's really going on? So perhaps, we'll close with this, perhaps the answer to this question can be found in appreciating the grammar of this word. I don't want you to get an allergic reaction here. Diktuk. But the grammar is the following. In Hebrew, when wanting to describe an action, a verb, we normally use what form? The PL form. Misononim. Misononim uses a different form. Which form is misononim? It's not PL. What is it? Hitpael. What's hitpael? It's the reflexive form. PL is the active form. I do. A verb. Hitpael is I do to myself. It's reflexive. It's something a person does to themselves. So maybe what the Torah is telling us by using this form of the verb, vayihi ha'am kim misonanim, they turn themselves into complainers. It's not that they were happy people who had a legitimate constructive criticism. They transform themselves into miserable, unhappy, hypercritical people. And that is intolerable. That is a cancer that metastasizes. That is a danger. It wasn't happy-go-lucky, appreciative people who had a constructive feedback. Kimis onanim, they turned themselves into a group of miserable, farbissina, cynical, pessimistic, hypercritical people. So they mention meat, but meat's not really their complaint. Meat is just conveniently how they put forth their complaint right now, but they claim complain before, they'll complain later. Their entire mahus is to complain. They walk in a room, something's wrong. They wake up in the morning, someone's wrong. They'll figure out what it is. So for right now, it's the meat. Soon it'll be the AC, the thermostat, then it will be the... They'll find the complaint. But if you wake up and you're a complainer before your day even began, you'll figure out what to complain about, but you're a complainer. The Torah has a lot of tolerance for complaints. I'm imperfect, the shul's imperfect. There's a lot that we need to work on. We welcome, we invite constructive criticism, suggestions, ideas, solutions. We don't welcome complainers. So if you're a happy, appreciative person with a context and a perspective who has something legitimate to share, share it. But if you become a complainer, ooh, that's toxic. That's poisonous. The Maor Vashemesh says, what's the root of the word misonanim? The root of the word is onain. Is onain. What's an onain? In between death and burial, before you become an avel, a mourner, a person is an onain. Why is the word misonanim from the word onain? Because the person made themselves sad and down and grieving and mourning over the thermostat, or the brand of the tuna fish at Shalashiris, or something more significant. But still, I wrote an article last week about my JetBlue flight, where the woman next to me, because her TV didn't work, screamed, "Nothing's working!" The flight attendant said, "Nothing's working? The plane is working, and that's the most important thing." And that was the message for us. Even when my knee, my hip, the Wi-Fi, it's not working the way I want, but is my heart still beating? And my lungs, am I still breathing? The main thing is still working? Don't be a complainer. Go fix your knee, fix your hip, fix the AC, fix the Wi-Fi. But have a perspective, have a context. Don't be a misononym, don't be an onain. You're grieving, you're mourning, you're crying, you're sad because the TV is not working. You're acting like you lost a loved one. Are you crazy? Kim misononym? We too fall prey to that sometimes. When we choose sadness over happiness. The Zohar says, choosing sadness over happiness is a form of avodah zarah. choosing sadness over happiness. Don't be an onen. Don't grieve and mourn and make yourself someone sad over something which is fixable, over something which has a solution to it. Don't be somebody who's miserable. Look what's right, not what's wrong. A lot more to say about this and about the Parsha as a whole. We'll end here tomorrow morning. We continue with 10 minutes of meaning, living with Emunah regular times. Tomorrow night, we go behind the beam. Lisa Elephant, the founder of Adopt a Shadchan. Very interesting. A person who's exhibited a lot of faith in recent times, suffered a lot of loss. The loss, tragic loss of her son. We'll speak to her tomorrow night behind the beam. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy.